We can honestly say, hand on heart, we have not missed a thing.
Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast. I'm Michael and I'm joined by Natalie. Today we're recording live from Darwin. We've done a lot of kilometres in the last couple of weeks, crossed the Savannah Way through Normanton, Cloncurry, Mount Isa, and then the most amazing spots stopping up at Mataranka and then Edith Falls. If they're places you've never planned on visiting before, check them out, have a look on the photos, whether it's our blog or someone else's, do yourself a favour, have a look at these places. They're worthy of anyone's bucket list.
Yes, we've had the most amazing few weeks for sure. So today on our episode, we are talking to one of our favourite families, and that is Annie from Four Hands in a Tin Can. We had Annie and Liam on in an earlier episode of the Family Travel Podcast. So have a bit of a look back through our library and find that particular episode because they've been on the road for a long time and they've got a lot of good knowledge to share. And today we have Annie on specifically to talk about traveling with a dog. So before we left on our lap, we debated for a long time as to whether we would take our little boy Hudson or not. Our circumstances at the time were that we had just had Eddie, so we're already travelling with a four-month-old, plus two other children, and just the thought of travelling with three kids and a dog in a caravan was just doing my head in. I didn't know if I'd be able to cope. We found a very happy home for him to live in, and I've had no regrets about our decision. I think it was a decision that was right for us at that time.
So today in this episode, we cover a lot about Annie and their family's experiences and also hints and tips and the things that they've found to work in terms of how their digger dog travels, their setup for dog food, whether or not they've missed out on places they wanted to see, how to deal with caravan parks, etc. One of the really good things I like about this conversation, it's not about trying to convince anyone that they should or shouldn't travel with their dog. What this episode is about arming people with the facts and the correct info so that way people can make their own informed decision based on their personal circumstances as to whether or not traveling with a dog is for them or not.
Now, before we kick on with the episode, we just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who has given us feedback on our episode from last week, which was our top purchases for under $20. I think that episode has had more feedback than any of our others. So thank you so much. We love feedback. If there is any topics you want us to cover, please let us know and we are sure to put them on our list. Also, next week, keep your ears peeled because A Big Peachy Adventure, the Family Travel Podcast, is going international. We will reveal all soon, but for now, without further ado, please enjoy our chat with Annie from Four Hands in a Tin Can.
Annie, welcome back to the Family Travel Podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
We love having you on, but today we're having you on for a specific talk about a specific topic. And that would be talking about traveling with dogs. Traveling with dogs, it's something that we had a lot of questions about and we debated the pros and cons when we went to leave. We have a little dog called Hudson who is very happy with a pet sitter back home in Adelaide. But you decided to travel with your dog.
Well, we did. It wasn't – Digger was only 12 months old when we left home. So he was going to stay with friends on a farm. And unfortunately, about 3 days before we left home, that fell through. So when we first left home, he actually went back to his breeder and to his mummy and daddy dogs and hung out there for about 3.5 months before we were prepared to have him with us on the road.
So initially, your plan was not to travel with a dog, but the circumstances changed and he ended up becoming a traveling member of the family as well.
Yeah, it was. We originally planned for him to come with us. Friends talked us out of it. They were going to have him. And like I said, that fell through. So we'd sort of, I guess like a lot of people, he wasn't. And then, you know, by the time we got, he was meant to stay with his original mummy and daddy for about 6 months or so. And we got to the 3.5 month mark and the kids were just like, we want him. We need to have him. And yeah, so he joined us and we haven't looked back. He's probably our... one of our favourite travellers in the car compared to the kids, you know, because they fight, he doesn't.
And you mentioned that he was about 12 months old. Now, our little dog Hudson is little. He's literally about 7 or 8 kilos and could fit in my handbag if I had one. Tell us a little bit about Digger.
Well, Digger is a chocolate Labrador. He is, a lot of people tell us he's overweight. He's actually quite a solid, muscular Labrador. And he's about 38 kilos. So he's not little. He does think he is a lap dog. So people will often laugh because we'll sit down and he'll climb up on someone's lap. But he is a gentle giant.
They always do, don't they, the Labradors? They're definitely think they're lap dogs, but they're so not. We had one that used to do the same when I was a child.
Now, you guys have got 2 kids and they're not little kids either.
No.
Now, it's not like you guys have small kids and a small dog. So where does Digger travel when you guys are on the road?
So what we do, Digger's got his soft crate type of tent that he sleeps in at night time. And we met a lady in Brisbane who actually made him a specific bed to go into that and covered it in Australian canvas for him. So we break that down, it folds flat. His bed comes out of that, his mat, and it goes on top and it goes into the boot of the car on one side. And as soon as Digger sees that happen, he is in the car and he sits there and watches us pack up. So, yeah, he's got his spot in the car and he can put his head over the seat to the kids, pant in their ear and let them know, you know, if he's got to go to the toilet or something and we pull over for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a better traveller than what the kids are when it comes to that sort of stuff as well. He'll hold on for 8 to 10 hours if he needs to.
And I think I saw recently you actually published some information about on your blog about food storage. So I think you trialled a few different ways of storing food.
We have trialled a few ways. We've had rats get into his food. We've had ants get into his food. We've had it go mouldy. And so we ended up, we had a little esky, little cool box esky, and it's watertight and everything else. And we decided by accident one day, we were cleaning out his food bowl, and we went, oh, my God, it's gone mouldy. And I had a new bag and I said, listen, we'll just put it in this esky until we can find something else to put it in. And it's never moved out of that esky because he can't get into it. And we all know what Labradors are like. They'll eat until they blow up. And no one else can get into it. And, yeah, it's moisture-free and everything. And his food stays fresh. So he only eats kibble, which a few people find a bit hard because they want to give him their table scraps and things in parks. But he has 1.5 cups of kibble a night and that's it.
Kibble, that's just the dry food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't have anything else because he, unfortunately, dog food doesn't agree with his digestive system and it's not pleasant for anyone.
And do you have a hard time finding the kibble while travelling or do you just make sure you stock up?
Yeah, we carry that full and as soon as it gets down to about quarter full, we buy more and keep it stocked up. That's the, you know, the biggest fear is running out of food for him and having to feed him something that won't agree with his tummy.
Mm.
So, yeah, we do make sure that's well stocked.
And is that something that you can find at most of the major centres, like some of the biggest cities around the place, you know, like the Mount Isas and so forth, or do you really have to stock up when you're in the capital cities?
No, not at all. Like we're here in Derby at the moment. We, you know, there's a Woolies here. And so you can pick up dry kibble in Woolies and they sell, you know, anything from home brand kibble to your most expensive. He's, you know, mid-range sort of cost. Yeah, we haven't had a problem. We've even picked it up in an IGA in the middle of nowhere a couple of times. So, yeah, it's not hard to keep, you know, the dog food there at all.
Okay, and sounds like you've got a pretty good setup then in terms of where Digger travels. He's in the back of the car. You've got the dog food storage finally sorted, so it sounds like a lockable, sealable esky that's airtight and watertight is the best thing. Now,
yep.
So for those people that haven't listened to the earlier episode where, you know, you give a nice overview of your whole experience travelling Australia, Can you just give a little bit of a quick summary of how long you've been on the road for and where you've been? And I guess the thing that is of most interest is, have you missed out on anything?
We can honestly say, you know, hand on heart, we have not missed a thing. So we left home in January 2016 and we haven't stopped travelling since. So we were recently in Esperance in Western Australia and we wanted to go to Lucky Bay and we found an awesome dog sitter and we posted all about Kate on our page and everything and in our website. And she had Digger for, it was supposed to only be for two nights. She ended up having him for a week and he slept in her bed in her house, which I was just like, oh my God. She gave up her bed one night because for anybody who meets Digger, he is a two-year-old who throws tantrums when he doesn't get his own way. And he refused to get out of her bed and threw a tantrum. So she actually went and slept in the spare room. Yeah, you'd laugh. She was an awesome dog sitter. We went to do the whale sharks where we were in Exmouth and we'd actually booked him with a dog sitter, but there was a fellow camper who followed our page and they begged to have him for the day. So that's been our biggest thing. We've found other people in caravan parks will look after him. We've had caravan park managers look after him when we've asked if they know of a dog sitter, and information centres, you know, we'll ask them and there'll be dog sitters listed with a lot of information centres in country towns and a lot of them will do it, you know, for free or for a few dollars. So we've done all the national parks. We've done Kalbarri. We've done Karangini. We just did Horizontal Falls on the weekend and Digger's always had a dog sitter.
With you mentioning caravan parks as well and saying you could always find people who look after the caravan parks, have you had any issues actually finding caravan parks? Like we did the East Coast recently and my parents came up to meet us with their dog. And we just had a real hard time finding over a certain stretch caravan parks that were also dog friendly. I think it was school holidays as well, which added an extra thing on top. Quite a few don't take them over school holidays. Has that ever been an issue for you?
That same area that you're probably talking about was an issue for us. We were lucky. We had relatives who live on the East Coast where we pulled in, you know, and stayed at their places and stuff. So we were lucky there. But we had one caravan park on the East Coast on the border of New South Wales and Queensland and they took dogs, manager's discretion. Mm-hmm. So I rang up and I said, you know, we've got a chocolate Labrador with us. Is that okay? And he said, oh, no, he'll take up too much room. I sort of went, what? Well, he's taking up room on our site, nobody else's. And this caravan park manager was adamant that he was too big a dog and would take too much room up in the caravan park to be able to stay. I sort of just went, okay, I can't argue this.
Yeah.
I give up. And that's been the only park that we've ever run that has said no. And I still to this day, go, what room was he going to take? Because he wasn't an elephant. But, you know, you respect that.
Yeah. Well, I guess not everyone is dog lovers like us.
No.
Have you found as well that you get put in the dog section? You know, I've seen comments on Wiki about people saying that, you know, they get put in the dog section, which might be at the back of the park where, I don't know, there's no grass and no facilities and that sort of stuff. Has that ever been an issue?
We haven't actually experienced that. The only place where we were told we were put in the dog section was in Exmouth. And to be honest, it was no different to, we couldn't tell the difference between the dog part and the non-dog part of the caravan park. And in all honesty, we were the only ones in our stretch with a dog. So I don't really know how that works. I have read about it and heard people, you know, comment on it, but we haven't experienced it at all. And we're actually finding more and more places are welcoming of pets, you know, and of dogs. And but the place where we're staying here in Derby, it's a little farm stay about 20K out of town. And when I rang them and to book in to stay and said, look, we're doing Horizontal Falls, it's going to be the overnight one. Do you know of any pet sitters in town? And they just laughed at me over the phone and said, you're coming to a farm stay. If he's a friendly dog, we'll have him. So we've found a lot of that. If we ask the question, a lot of people just stick their hand up and say, look, we'll just take him for you for the day or the night.
Especially when I guess you mentioned he's a chocolate Labrador because everyone loves chocolate Labradors.
That's it. Everyone falls in love with him when they meet him. And when he shakes their hand and, you know, steals their food and stuff, they fall in love with him a bit more.
That's awesome that you haven't really missed out on anything. And has it been luck that you've been able to find all the places that have been dog friendly, or has there been a certain way that you've been able to know which parks to call in the first place?
We use Air Camps Australia. And if people haven't heard of Air Camps Australia, it is new. It's a free app. It's similar sort of to Wikicamps. So we use that. We also use Wikicamps, of course. And we put the dog filter on if we need a caravan park and even a free camp, and make sure that, you know, that it is going to be pet friendly for him and that he can come and stay before we even ring. And we will read the comments, because there are some parks who say that they're pet friendly, but, you know, people have had lots of issues there, and we'll avoid those. And I guess that's the biggest thing, is to read the comments people put on, and to make the decision for yourself as to whether that park is suitable for you and your pet or not.
I think reading the comments is good advice in general. Mm. It's turned us off a few camps and made us more attracted to ones that we were going to pass by reading the comments. In the comments, have you found that's what indicates how easy it's going to be to get a dog sitter, or is that something you work out once you're there, or how do you go about finding the dog sitter?
Like I said, the dog sitter for us, and I think everyone will find the same thing, it's a little bit of luck, and it's just asking the question, you know, ringing an information centre and before you get there and saying, listen, you know, we're coming into the area, we want to do this, do you have any dog sitters on your books? If they don't, ringing, you know, the caravan park that you're going to be staying in and saying, listen, you know, we're booking in, do you know of any dog sitters? We've, you know, done that over the phone, and we've had a manager go, oh, what sort of dog? We've told them and they've gone, oh, just leave them with us at the office for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just asking the questions, making a couple of phone calls, and somebody will be able to help you, even if it is the local vet. We're lucky in that we haven't had to put Digger in at a local vet or anything. And we also offer, you know, we'll say to other campers, listen, the kids are doing school all day today. If you want to go out for the day, we'll take your dog. And just asking around too, because you'll find other campers are more than willing to watch the dog while you go out and do, you know, a day's activity. And the dog's staying at the caravan, they've got their bowl of water, they're happy in their surroundings, and nobody's any the wiser.
Mm. And I've seen that when we were looking at taking our Hudson with us, I found quite a few groups on Facebook that talk about travelling with dogs. Do you tap into those resources at all? Or
We try and tap into those. It's, you know, we'll sometimes put things in, like we're looking for somebody to dog sit for us in Darwin, if you guys are available. if there's anybody listening and would like to have Digger for a week or two, we'd be more than happy. We want to do Kakadu and Lynchfield. Mm. But we're also tossing up, because it's the end of the season and we know we'll be back up this way towards the beginning of the season, more next year, that we might put Kakadu and Lynchfield off till then.
Mm.
But, yeah, we're, you know, I do a bit of research beforehand as well for places like that to go, okay, well, I want him, you know, we want to have a two-week stint without him, unfortunately. But then we're also, you know, we can do day trips if we need to. We can free camp and leave him with the van if we need to. So we sort of, yeah, work it out as we go.
It sounds like if you've got a dog that is well-behaved and well-trained, it shouldn't really lead to you missing out on anything. And if anything, it's going to help, you know, be an extra member of the family. What final advice or message would you give to someone who's considering doing a lap and umming and ahhing about taking their pet?
I think it's an individual choice. If you're only going for a year and you have somebody who will look after your pet for you and do a good job and you're quite comfortable, then, you know, take that option. You know, as much as it has been easy to find them, you still have that little bit of, you know, if you're going to be full-time and that's your dog, you know, you wouldn't leave one of your kids at home. Why would you leave your dog at home? But then weigh it up. And if the dog's too old and isn't going to cope, don't put it through the torture of travelling. If it's a dog with anxiety, I still wouldn't put it through the torture of travelling. Digger does, he loves it. But, you know, we've met people when their dogs are just anxious. Mm. And it's not fair.
Absolutely. So consider the dogs and your circumstances, but you wouldn't change it.
Yeah, definitely. Consider everything and make the choice, and don't let other people influence that choice. You know, I regret that we let somebody influence our choice in a way, but, you know, it is what it is. But make that decision on your own. Research it and really decide whether it's worth it or not.
Mm.
There are places like Gib River Road where they say, please don't take the dogs. And it is because of poison, where poisons are. dogs can't be, you know, poisons are mainly in national parks and stuff. So you're not going to have your dog in the national park. They shouldn't die from baiting at the end of the day. It's all about responsible, you know, pet ownership and having them trained. You know, we know 90% of the time Digger will come back to us if we call his name or whistle.
Yeah.
You know, he's still only a puppy. He's only, he'll be four in November. So in Labrador years, he's got another year of being a puppy yet.
Yeah, it sounds better than my kids. I reckon 90% of the time they say stuff and I'm going to play, and only 10% of the time they come back. So. Yes. I can't wait to meet him, hopefully, when our paths finally do cross.
Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah, we might see you guys soon.
Well, I hope so too. Thank you very much for coming on and talking to us about dogs. I know that you guys are always more than willing to answer any questions that people have in regards to anything to do with travel.
Yeah.
So where can our listeners find you if they would like to have a chat?
So, yeah, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and our website, which is www.fourhandsinatincan.net.
Lovely. And we'll link to all of those in the show notes. Once again, thank you very much for your time. I hope a lot of people got a lot out of this in terms of the facts and the truth about travelling with a dog so they can make that decision themselves.
Hope so too.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe, and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.